across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, it's Martin Malloy with McMalloy and Tony Martin.
And today, we end the week on a high by staging our own spectacular running of the balls right here in the studio. Get your bike helmets on, people. Also today, Mick will be asking, what's all that about? We've got a fantastic offer for anyone in the market for a new beard. And we'll be urging you to keep an eye out for India's most wanted man, Rupert Murdoch. It's the end of the week. That means the Fumios will have one final round of Beat the Beasley on Radio Gladiators. It's another musical challenge. And joining us live, comedian and empty pocket, Matt Parkinson. Yes, it's all coming up on the program with that new cheesy crust, Martin Malloy. Sexual healing. That's Maximilian declaring the final. Martin Malloy for the week, open for business right around Australia with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here. A man who's looking a bit worse for wear after his birthday party last night. I told him not to invite Colonel Potter from MASH, but he just wouldn't listen. Mick Malloy.
Yes, I also made the mistake of jumping out one of those cakes that have been found out the front of that car park.
Is that right? Well, guess what? I'll tell you what, let's get things underway because we'll get to Pottergate later. We will indeed. It's Friday and it's time to piff this week's Martin Malloy Fumio in the general direction of whoever or whatever it was that's provided Mick and myself with the most cheap laughs over the last week. And if you'd like to read about the origin and history of this much-coveted accolade, you can do so at the Martin Malloy website, by the way, martinmalloy.village.com.au. But let's get to business. The Fumio this week brought to you by new Ted Drano. For all your household blockages, just two teaspoons of new Ted Drano will release those pipes and S-bends of all their do-gooders and homosexuals forever. But a word of warning, if you swallow Ted Drano, you'll swallow anything. But let's get to the nominees. Mick, who's got the nod this week?
Wimbledon streaker Melissa Johnson, who produced what many experts regard as the best set ever seen at a Wimbledon final.
Bond, who's been banned from making any public appearances throughout the duration of his six-week trial for art fraud. Should that image of the Virgin Mary in that Adelaide church prove to be a fraud, she too will be banned from public appearances for at least 6 weeks. And, Mickey, imagine if Kate Fisher was charged with art fraud. Oh, dear. Put an end to her career.
There you go. The transvestite school teacher who angered many parents at a Port Augusta school when he turned up in a long flowing dress that billowed freely as he entered the grounds on the roof of the school bus.
And hinted at earlier, the car plant cake guy. Yes, the Ford factory worker who found a chocolate cake on the ground in the car park and shared it with 12 of his co-workers, only to discover it was chockers with illegal substances. And this gives you an idea of the dangers we run on this show. Guess what I've got to say here, Mickey?
Oh,
shouldn't have become suspicious when Jason Donovan burst out of it in his underpants.
Oh, no!
But listen to this.
Had an accident.
It's a prang at the opening gate here at Martin Malloy. But listen to this. I can provide you with something as an alternative because I didn't want to bring this onto the show. And it's something really we've been doing around the office. The car plant cake guy has become such a cult figure around here. Yeah. We've been singing a little tribute song to him all week.
Oh, and, no.
Car plant cake guy. Car plant cake guy. Yes, we can't get enough of his work, and if he'd like to give us a call, there's a Martin Malloy T-shirt with his name on it. But no, Mickey, the Fumio goes to
the organisers of Pamploma's Running of the Bulls.
Welcome to Blast FM. Yes, of course, the Running of the Bulls, a Spanish tradition, a fantastic, colourful local tradition, which, of course, is held here in Australia every year under its alternative title, the David Jones Stock-Taking Sale. And it's a bit of a treat, Mickey. What have you been working on all day? You haven't been in the office. You've been out the back. I've heard a lot of strange noise. What's going on?
Well, I've been organising a Running of the Bulls live here in the studio.
We're going to have a Running of the Bulls?
Yeah.
You've got the livestock behind the gate ready to go.
What do you mean, livestock?
Well, we need a few bulls to run through this.
Yeah, I misunderstood your tone.
What you... No,
I've got Vicar and Linda Bull.
Oh,
Oh, no.
How's that going to work?
Oh, open the gate, Gracie.
Oh, no, Mickey. There come the Ball Sisters.
Oh, man, look, there's more than I thought. Jesus. Make sure that ain't Gloria. Make sure that ain't Gloria.
Oh, no, for now, look, Mickey, here comes that Wimbledon streaker.
Gourmet. Gourmet.
Put them away, madam. I think we've seen them enough this week.
And look out, Tone. It's the transsexual teacher.
Mick, we've left the gate open. Everyone we've been having a go at this week is charging in.
Look out, Tone, it's Li Xingyi from the Chinese swimming team.
Oh, gee, she's a big bastard.
And watch out, Tone, there's Gazza and he's got a rock.
Good one, Gazza. Mick, behind you, it's Barbara Cartland.
Yeah, sure it is.
Oh, oh no, here comes Dougie the pizza boy. Oh!
Yes, as the days go by, Daryl Braithwaite here at Martin Malloy. And Mickey, I feel it coming on. Mm-hmm. About this time every week, you've got a burning question on your mind. Is there any exception today? It's Friday. Have you got something for us?
No, don't be afraid. It's time to ask the question. Ooh.
All that about.
Check this out and tell me what you make of it, Tone. Mm. A Florida woman has spent the last 9 months teaching her 3-year-old pet cat to dine at the table with her and her hubby using a knife and fork.
Oh, it's important work.
I've got to get this out. People need to know, Tone. Here's how it happens. The woman dips the cat's paws in a small wash bowl,
okay,
then outfits the cat with Velcro fastened like a wrist strap to hold the fork or spoon in place, which,
Velcro,
incidentally, is the exact same technique my girlfriend's been using with me over the last 9 months or so. Sure, the cat's probably a bit further down the track than me, but I've heard it still has a bit of trouble chasing those last few peas around the place. In fact, if me and the cat did sit down together for a meal,
yeah,
it'd probably end with me just sitting there, mouth open, while the cat did the old, here comes the choo-choo train. Oh. But rather sad, really. I'd still be sitting there while the cat cut my food into bite-sized pieces. Do you think the cat's up to speed with all the etiquette recutlery, Tone?
Oh,
do you think it knows
so.
To, you know, Velcro the outside ones on first,
yeah,
and work its way in?
Very important.
Because I'd hate to see it hoving into a, you know, soup with a dessert spoon. That'd be an embarrassing gaffe for the cat. Mind you, I don't think it cares too much, because I heard the other night tea was a few minutes late, so it just sat there banging its knife and fork on top of the table. Where's the food?
I'm just right.
Where's the food?
I'm getting my shopping list, Mickey. Velcro, what is it, wash bowl?
Velcro wash bowl, strap them on, and go like the clappers.
Weekend's entertainment, ready to go.
Give it a go, Tone. Okay. I'd like to take that cat out to dinner myself.
Would you?
Maybe spot a Chinese. Let's see the little moggy. Let's see how he goes with a couple of chopsticks velcroed to one paw.
Yeah.
That'd leave the other one free to honk onto a couple of beers.
Yeah, very nice.
Skull. 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 In fact, if you got a bit pissed yourself, you could velcro the cat's paws to the steering wheel and get it to drive you home.
Fantastic.
Now I'm thinking.
Okay.
Now I'm thinking. But there you go.
Mm.
A cat that's strapped to cutlery and eats at the table with adults.
Yeah.
Sure, it's a feel-good story, but unfortunately it's got a bit of a tragic ending.
Is it?
I'm sad to say the cat passed away earlier this week after it ran from the table during a meal and stuck a knife in the toaster.
Active soul world I know here at Martin Malloy.
Hi, I'm Willie Nelson's beard, and for years now I've just been hanging around on the end of Willie's chin, not doing a great deal, just minding my own business and enjoying the best seat in the house at every Willie Nelson concert. Well, I've had a bit of a chat to myself and decided it's time to move on. So, if you're looking for a small clump of grey hair to cling to the bottom of your chin, I'm your beard. With over 20 years in the business, I'm not some Johnny-come-lately passenger like that sad tuft of bum fluff hitching a ride under Brad Pitt's top lip. Oh, no. And you won't find me piss-farting about like that nasty piece of work currently making the lower half of Bob Geldof's noggin the laughing stock of the Western world. I'm the genuine article. Check me out. I'd be perfect in the facial hair department for salty old sea dogs, in-store Santas, and hey, fashion me into one of those pointy teepee arrangements and I'd be a dead set Monty for any hypnotist out there specialising in making people run around the room like a chicken. You'll be surprised at what you find inside me And in just a few short weeks, you'll have grown used to my stale, beery smell. And if you call now, I promise the occasional visit on your face from my very good buddy here.
Hi, I'm Sydney Crawford's mole, and I'd love to come round and kick back for a while, just above your top lip. Actually, bugger it, plop me on your ass if you feel like it. I just don't care.
So call me here on Willie's chin, and let's see if we can't come to some arrangement. I'm open to just about any offer, although I'll tell you now, I don't do any work in the downstairs department. Now, if you'll excuse me, it's time for Willie's dinner.
Oh, no! Soup!
Try getting some in your mouth, you craggy old bastard!
Runaway here at Martin Malloy. We're in the next hour. It's the final round of Beat the Beasley. And yesterday, what happened yesterday, Mickey?
Was it ones and 2 cent pieces?
That's right. We got all the leftover ones and 2 cent pieces, 52 million bucks of them, which you people out there in the big brown land are hiding. You're not handing them in.
Hoarding.
It's not right. It's in breach of regulations.
We want them back.
We got most of them anyway, welded them into an effigy of Kim Beasley. We dropped it on Michael Hutchins by request, I understand.
No good reason.
By request from Bob Geldof, I think it was. And today, it's the last one. It's only fair. We're going to let you drop the Beasley onto us. It'll be a satisfying moment for one listener. And it could be you in the next hour. Plus, of course, you're in line for that Sanyo Olympic prize pack.
Beautiful.
Matt Parkinson's going to be with us in the next.
Parker. Call him Parker.
Who have we had this week? We've had Parker. No, we haven't Parker. Mm-hmm. We've had Gilbo.
Gilbo.
See, I'm getting confused. We've had DeBono.
DeBono.
Gilbo. Hendo. Amanda Kellero.
Kello.
And now Parker.
Parker.
All right, and that's in the next hour. Matt Parkinson from The Empty Pockets, and he's always got something to say. He'll be with us. Also, Radio Gladiator's coming up. I'll let you know now, it's a musical challenge. So get your musical instruments out. You don't necessarily have to be able to play them that well.
I know. Just have one handy.
And we'll be throwing a tune at you and asking you to play it. So whatever you got. It can be even something you've cobbled together from bits and pieces in the kitchen.
Keanu Reeves could win.
That's right.
A bit of guitar work.
You don't have
He'd
to
be with a chance.
Musical at all. And let's get to the crumbs, shall we, Mickey? A few stories hanging around. Have you been keeping an eye out for Rupert Murdoch, fugitive from justice?
He blames the one-armed man, apparently.
But a Bombay court has ordered the arrest of the News Corporation chairman after a guest on a talk show screened on Murdoch's American Star TV network made derogatory comments about the late Mahatma Gandhi. Rupert Murdoch is on the lam, Mickey. He's on the lam. He's on the run. He's out there. Is there a reward for his capture? I hope so. This is serious. In fact, I've got a News Corp paper here, and they've printed a photo-fit picture of Rupert. There he is. He's 3 foot tall with red curly hair and eye patch, and he's black, apparently. He wouldn't have been interfering with the pictures, would he? He doesn't interfere in editorial stuff on that. No, of course not. But this could set a precedent. Do you think they'll issue a warrant for Kerry Packer once they've copped an eyeful of Mahatma coat on Nine Sydney Footy Show? I certainly hope so. Here's another bit of news that caught my attention. The king-size mattress Hugh Grant shared with girlfriend Liz Hurley in their country retreat could fetch a fortune at auction in London next week. The auctioneers, Gardner Hulgert, said that they've had a number of calls from women interested in the chance to share the bed of the Brit film idol, as it were. And if they miss out on the mattress, I hear there's a set of car seat covers ready to go. Grab them fast, people. And Lisa Marie Presley, she's come out and revealed that her ex-husband, Michael Jackson, never takes his makeup off, even in bed. Well, that's what she's heard from somebody who's actually slept with him.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Absolutely Nobody.
Treat me no good no more here at Martin Malloy, where it's time for a special musical edition of
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Haven't done a musical challenge for a while, Mickey.
Yeah, I know. People have been calling for it, hasn't it? It's been an overwhelming kind of inundation.
That's
of
right.
Requests for this.
That's right. Listeners, staff members, Richard Clapton, people calling up saying, give us a bell, let me have a go on whatever I've got around the house, because we want people to call up and play a tune of our choosing on a proper musical instrument, or really whatever they can get their hands on.
That's it. Improvise, people.
And let's provide a few examples. We've done this quite a few times over the last year and a half. And here's an example from a while back. This was one of our listeners, Adrian, playing Manamana.
again.
There's no doubt about the sax. It's a sexy instrument, isn't it?
I'm afraid it gets. We move out of the realm of actual musical instruments now. This was Carol playing the Benny Hill theme on her handbag. Yeah, I'm already running around with no clothes on. It's just so affecting. And remember, these are the winners that we're playing. You should have heard some of the others. Here we've got Thomas playing Smoke on the Water on a few, I think, VB stubby bottles.
Oh, superb. Yes, the stubby. I think that's a wind instrument tone by classification.
And didn't he smash all the stubbies over an amp at the end?
that was the big finale.
That's right. Now, next up we've got, who is it? This is Lauren's dad, whoever Lauren's dad might be, with the birdie dance. Check it out.
Hills birdie dance.
Yes. Get on the banjo. Listen and learn Keanu Reeves. And here we've got a couple of versions of one of our favourite tunes on the segment, Popcorn. Firstly, here's Bill on his own cheeks. Ooh, that's very good. That's very good, and he's in danger of injuring himself too if he continues much longer. Yeah, that was the upstairs cheeks, of course. Always been a fair bit of controversy on the segment as to whether the human body is an instrument.
Are we going to be accepting it today?
Well, we'll see what we get.
Yeah.
We'll make it up as we go along, I think. And if we've got another bit of popcorn. This was, is it Bernie? Tracy Bernie, and he's playing his vacuum cleaner. Yeah, or so he reckons. We'll take his word for that. So today we're looking for, I think, a tune which... Now, not every station that we're playing on around the network grid uses this tune, but a fair few of them do.
Everyone would know it, I think, Tone.
It's usually employed as the kind of traffic report music. Mm. It's this bit of music here. Yeah. There, and a bit of brass coming in. We've got the bass and now sort of... We all know it. It is, of course, I think, Henry Mancini's Peter Gunn theme, but if you're my age, you know it as the music from the Blues Brothers, of course.
Oh, is it?
Okay. Mum and Dad know it as the Peter Gunn theme. We know it as the theme from the Blues Brothers. We want you to call us up and play it on whatever instrument you can get your hands on. And do we have a prize? Well, Gracie, I think we'll hear that tune again. Have you got a mambo version for us? Yes, love a bit of mambo on the show. Well, I inform you that you will win tickets for you and a friend to see John Farnham live in concert. I understand he does all the tunes you've just heard there
on the vacuum cleaner
as part of the big Romeo's Heart Tour. Also, you'll get a Martin Malloy t-shirt and you'll go into the drawer for that trip for two staying at the fabulous four-star Port Douglas Treetops, flying Ansett Airlines and staying seven nights. And we have Pete Smith, Mr. Copperart himself, just clawing at the lead, wanting to get out of the booth and reach into the barrel. We're going to be drawing that trip at the end of today's segment.
So excellent.
Get your instrument together. Call us now. Play the Peter Gunn theme. 1-800-657-657.
I'd phone up and complain on the new SAFM.
That's ironic. From Alanis Morissette here at Martin Malloy, and can we go any more musical than that? We're going to attempt to today on Radio Gladiators. It's another Radio Gladiators musical challenge where we want you to grab whatever you can and play this tune here.
That's sounds right. Quite easy, doesn't it?
And you'd think it'd be a piece of traffic building up on the southeastern freeway. Sorry, look just out, makes me go into it.
Hit a game on the
and speed kills. But okay, we want to hear the cream of the musical crop. These are the up-and-coming talents that are going to be shaping the future. Michael Gudinski is sitting at home in a beanbag with the headphones on. If he likes what he hears, he'll be contacting you with a three-album contract. So who have we got? Introduce the musos, Mick Malloy.
It's Andrew. G'day, Andrew. How are you?
How you going?
And what you going to play for us, bud?
Play the theme song. I've got my guitar in front of me.
That sounds pretty standard. There's a straight bat to begin with.
Yeah. Okay, fire up the guitar. Andy.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Beautiful bit of work. And, Andrew, are you calling us from on board a ship in the middle of a storm?
No, I'm calling from down in Venus Bay.
No, okay. And how's things down Venus way?
bloody cold.
Okay. All right, that's our weather information for the hour.
There you go.
And now we'll move on to Marcus. So, Marcus, what are you playing for us?
Hey, Mick and Tone, I'm playing the plastic horn.
The plastic horn, not one of those annoying ones that they have at the footy.
Sure is.
Okay, well.
It's you, Marcus, it's you.
You're the one. All right, fire it up, Marcus.
Okay, I'll just put the phone in.
All right, here we go.
This procedure.
He's calling from the deck of the Fairstar.
Get off the road!
Marcus,
yeah.
When you play the plastic horn, do your cheeks go out really fat like Louis Armstrong's used to do?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a good look, wouldn't it?
All right.
Was that Peter Gunn? Are we paying that as Peter Gunn?
Well, you know, wait till you hear what we've got next, and then you'll be thinking twice about that statement. Catherine, what are you playing?
I've got some spoons.
Of course you have. Fire it up.
Okay.
Here we go. Thank you, Catherine. She's no Noel.
Henry Mancini is kicking himself. He's kicking himself. He didn't record the original with something from the top cutlery drawer.
Exactly. Are you starting from the outside and working in when you play the spoons, Catherine?
Oh, these are the tablespoons. They're the big ones.
Very nice. And I just hope Noel Crombie's listening in today because he's the connoisseur of the spoons in this town. Okay, thanks, Catherine. And now we've got Lisa. Lisa, what instrument have you decided?
I've got a straw from a super sipper.
Oh, right. Did you get that from a professional music shop?
No, I got it from Movie World when I was on holiday.
Okay. All right, well, fire up the straw, Lisa.
Okay, hang on.
Well, I don't know if that's the Peter Gunn theme to us, but certainly dogs here in the studio are waking up and rolling over as we speak.
And when you rock up to gigs, Lisa, do you have a little straw case?
Oh, yes,
like a guitar case?
Yeah, I just stick it under my arm and I walk in.
Oh, very nice. You're a professional. Okay, thanks, Lisa. Now we're talking to Bernie. Bernie, what are you playing?
Oh, I'm going to play my stomach, guys.
Your own stomach?
My own stomach.
Is it a bit of a bass tone?
Yeah. I can't speak for tone, but mine's a bit bass, yeah.
All right. Well, take it away. On his own stomach, it's Maestro Bernie.
Okay, here we go.
What is this, gladiators or the running of the bulls?
I just get the feeling he's being subdued by two gentlemen in nurse suits at the moment.
And Tone, I don't want to give too much away, but apparently that's how the three tenors plan to do Ava Maria later on in Australia this year.
What do you reckon?
Oh, well, we're fairly impressed here, but, you know, that doesn't necessarily count for much, Bernie, I'm afraid.
You hang in there, Bernie. Game's not over yet. You're not out of the race, but let's talk to Keith. And, Keith, what instrument you got, Keith?
Zither.
The zither. There's an instrument you don't hear very often. Well, not on this station anyway. Drop the big zither home free
the,
hour of it.
The Zither Top 30.
That's right.
That's the one. No, I think they disbanded that because bored everyone.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's see if Keith is a master of the zither. Take it away with the Peter Gunn theme, Keith.
All right, then.
He's got a pair of cymbals tied between his knees, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Is this some kind of art house flick?
Yeah,
what are we looking at?
I don't know. I think we're sitting in the audience of one of them Jim Jarmusch films, listening to Peter Glass or somebody take to...
very arty, Keith.
Yeah.
What? Can I play?
Oh, well,
you can play, son. You can go all the way. You're the next Nathan Cavalieri on the zither.
Kindy, mate.
And what are you doing with a zither, Keith? I thought they had to be handed in under the zither amnesty last month.
No, I kept mine. I'm contraband.
Okay, well, you get it crimped. Now, let's speak to Mark. Finally, Mark, what instrument are you playing?
I'm going to play a chainsaw.
A chainsaw?
Yep. Peter Gunn on the chainsaw. All right, can you fire it up for us, Mark? Right. Well, here he goes.
Here we go.
Mark with Peter Gunn.
Here we go.
Yes,
I like it a lot.
I think that might be our winner.
I like the stomach. I really like
like Bernie on the stomach, but Mark is playing the axe.
That's right.
The modern day axe.
Bernie gets it for energy, but for ingenuity, it has to go to Mark. And Mark, do you belong to a kind of weekend chainsaw orchestra by any chance?
Well, I'm trying to get one together, but no one will join me.
Yeah, okay.
They will run away.
Were you actually cutting something down as you played that?
Not quite.
That'd be a skill.
Yeah, do you think this wood chipping would be more appealing to people if it was more musical, Mickey?
You'd be out in the middle of the Daintree taking requests.
Okay. All right, maybe that's a topic for the next hour. But you are our winner, Mark, right. And you've scored yourself tickets to John Farnham. And maybe he'll let you jump up on stage and do a solo with him if you ask nicely.
Maybe.
And you'll be wearing a Martin Malloy T-shirt, which will probably ruin your prospects in that particular effort there. And also, you've gone into the draw for the trip to Port Douglas, staying at the
that
Port Douglas
nice.
Treetops. We're about to draw it now, and only one person on this program has the qualifications to do that properly.
There
please make him welcome Pete Smith!
Yes, boys, indeed. Thank you very much.
Hiya, Pete.
It's only a few feet away, you know, but this will make magic for you.
And, Pete, just before you reach into the barrel, were you impressed by the depth of talent?
Very much indeed. That Gutsophone one there, the second one, that was a beauty, that one. Lovely, you know? The ingenuity of it all. These guys, why haven't we got new faces back on?
Yeah, well, I'd like to see that. And you at the helm of a bunch of people playing chainsaws in their own stomachs. Are you listening, Channel 9? Forget your blankety blanks. Pete Smith's got the answers. He's right under. You know.
Yeah, and I've got wheelchair access.
Have a look at Pete, and have a look what he's wearing, and tell me why he is not the new Doctor Who.
Oh, that's the action. Yeah, you are the man about town, Pete Smith. It's an outrageous.
I take all my fashion cues from you, buddy.
Okay, let's not delay the moment any longer. During that banter, we wrote down Mark's name on the fifth piece of paper. It's gone in the barrel. Reach in if you could, Pete.
Here it is. Here it comes. It's Lisa Galea.
Oh, Lisa Galea. What does she do? She was the person who impersonated Babe, the talking piglet, being chased in the running of the bulls. It was an outstanding performance, and it's bagged her a trip to Port Douglas at the Port Douglas treetops, of course.
Well done.
Courtesy of Dougie T and his team and the people at, of course, Ansett Airlines taking you there. Now,
why have you got Pete on the kiddie chair?
I picked her right out of the swill, then, didn't I?
Pete's on the kiddie chair. How did that happen?
Pete, just before you sign off, what are you up to this weekend?
This
Anything
weekend,
exciting?
A few confidential. I am going to see Miss Saigon.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Miss Saigon
it is this weekend. Yep. Yeah, they couldn't get the miss.
Well,
it's all politically correct down there, you know, now.
Well, watch out for those helicopter blades, and we'd like you to come in and give us a full report about this time next week, if you could.
A live theatre review?
Yeah, we'll...
You're breaking new ground, boys.
And Pete, remember, no heckling. last time we went to the theatre with you, an outrage.
That's right. Okay.
Participation, boys. I love it.
It was Disney on Ice, and he threw a few beer cans. He put it behind him. Okay, thanks for joining us today, Pete. Thanks to everybody who took part in Radio Gladiators. We're running disgracefully late. Our producer is getting the cane out. We'll be back in the next hour with Matt Parkinson.
This is Martin Malloy.
Progressive deterioration. Even disintegration of structure. Very good.
Brought to you by absolutely nobody.
And in this hour of Martin Malloy, the final Beat the Bees League, the mind powers of Mick Malloy. And next up, Matt Parkinson. Will you sign in, please? That's Oasis. Don't look back in anger. It's Martin Malloy. It's the second hour. It's possibly the third hour, Mickey. I'm not sure. We're running so late today.
As long as it's the final hour.
It is, but our guest, he's made it in time. He's probably best known as the taller of those blokes in the singlets who just love to hit each other in the head, the empty pockets. He's a stand-up comic, a writer. He's done a bit of radio his own self, and, of course, he's cleaned out the gift shop on Sale of the Century. Please welcome our carryover guest, Matt Parkinson.
Thank you, Australia. Such a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And, Matt, can we call you Parko?
Please, go ahead.
The official clearance.
Since grade two, that's what people have called me.
Parko, was that your first nickname?
Yes, it was I can remember distinctly being on the monkey bars in the playground. No one had ever called me before. Hey, Parko, I turned around and that was it for life.
Yeah, all right. Now, what have you been doing lately that we need to know about? Of course, it's been a long time. since you cleaned out the gift shop, as I mentioned. Are you still recognised in the street as that smart-ass bloke off Sale?
Very much so. People watch Sale all around the country. It's a bit of it's like the Melbourne Cup every weeknight at 7, you know, when it's on. And one bloke came up to me down at my local and said, you cost me $400 because the go where he's from in his country pub is everyone sits around while it's on and bets on who's going to win. You say, no, put a bit of money in.
Can you do that?
Oh, I'm sure. Legal. I mean, it's constitutional right. This is Australia. You've got to bet on stuff, Tony.
I'm going down to bet on Sale tab.
Yeah, and have they asked you back to go in the Sale of the Century Champions Week? Are you
one,
up there?
One time I did go back, and I must admit, my general knowledge tends to centre, I've watched a lot of World Around Us type stuff.
Have you?
And that's the source of my knowledge, whereas most of the people I was against, there was the occasional cardiologist, lawyer, qualified people who didn't flunk out of their degrees at uni, you know what I'm saying? Right. So they were a bit better read than
that bloke with the hypnotist beard, what was his name? Carey. He always dreamed a little too quick off the mark for my liking.
And did you ever come up against the bloke who was on Sale last year with the spooky-looking mutton chops? He kind of looked a bit Planet of the Apes. I think he's back. There's a picture of him in the new TV Week, and Nicky Buckley's taken a shaver to his face, and not before time. Didn't come up against him?
Yeah, no, I steered. He was just before me. I steered well clear of Wolfman, quiz show boy, yeah.
That wasn't you in a fake pair of mutton chops, was it?
You got me, Nick.
Yeah, I'm on to you.
All right, and do you find friends coming up to you with really annoying, trivial, kind of general knowledge questions?
You'd
all
be amazed how many young Australians want to know the capital of Peru for no apparent reason. And I'm not able to help them at this stage.
How would Parker go on our competition, Beat the Beasley? We've
he's out of his depth. Yeah. Don't tone.
Do you know what the V and V chip stands for?
No.
What
no,
would it be? It's all, isn't it obvious?
Vertigo.
Vertigo.
Oh, right.
Bullets. No one can get it. People have been telling maybe our answers are too, or questions at least, are too hard. The answers, they're not forthcoming. We'll find out soon. Now, what else have you been up to, Parko? I know I'm often finding myself turning on the telly in the afternoon and seeing you on the kids' shows. You pop up on the kids' shows.
Oh, yeah. So carved out quite a career for myself in kids' TV because that's where the money and the glam is. I figure get the fans while they're young, you know. It's a Jesuit thing. Get them when they're 6 or 7 and they're yours for life. You know what
so
I mean?
There's kids around Australia who've grown up with Parko.
That's right.
But I reckon kids would have to be the hardest audience in the world because they've got the bush meter amped up to 11. Yeah. They know. Right. They can spot a croc. I tip the hat to anyone who can dip into the kiddie market, the lucrative kiddie market, and pull it off with aplomb, as you've done.
It's not easily done. For instance, a couple of episodes of Skippy that Matt and I were involved in as your harmless, gormless, kangaroo abducting, you know, drifters, whatever we were. The biggest holdback in shooting schedules was actually Skippy's supposed to be a female, but they use a male kangaroo because male kangaroos work more comfortably solo. Females tend to hang around in groups, you see. So there's some very critical sort of edge of frame shooting going on because we all know that your male kangaroo you can make a tobacco pouch out of what he's got hanging down the back there. So it's fairly highly visible. And not only that, they're a very tactile animal, the kangaroo. They do tend to get aroused. And I don't know if I'm the only one who remembers a particularly graphic CSIRO documentary about the mating of the kangaroo, but it's a real visual treat. If you had a chance to see it, we're talking sort of neon J-curve kind of thing. Two grey furry masses uniting together.
Right, so
very
the people making Skippy are having to employ the same digital technology as was used on Michael Jackson.
Roughly. It was like being in Elven Purple, only the acting was of a much better standard.
Right.
You know what I mean.
I actually did watch that CSIR doco, but with the sound down and just some Barry White playing in the background. Oh, let me tell you, people. Very exciting.
Very nice. And what else have you been up to lately, Parker?
Some live performance in here, because we've performed together. When was that? Right. That was a few years back now.
A show called Six of the Best, I seem to. Did anyone get injured during that season? Do you get injured on stage, Parker?
I've never been injured, although with the other Empty Pocket, Matt Quartermain, I do remember a gig in Perth where Matt's come up with this brilliant gag before the show. It was like a bit improvised. We hadn't really rehearsed it. You pretend, basically the whole gag was you pretend to knee me in the head really hard.
That old one.
It just missed me by about a quarter of an inch, and I'll go the big, oh, and I've gone, okay, Quarters, you're right with that. I'll do that. And of course, in the excitement of the moment, in the sort of, you know, actor's studio method acting intensity of the moment, I've just grabbed his head and basically planted my knee in the middle of his forehead as hard as you like, as hard as a human could possibly do it. And I'll tell you what, it got a really, really big laugh.
Did it?
Really big laugh. And I couldn't persuade Cortis to keep it in the act.
It was very well received, and was his timing thrown for the rest of the show?
Yes.
All right, well, tell you what, let's stop for a quick knee in the head break now on the show, and we'll be back with Parko in just a moment. I'm Martin Malloy. life. That's John Farnham here at Martin Molloy, where Matt Parkinson is sitting in on the show today.
Hey there.
And, Matt, I know you've... well, we've been talking about television and, of course, kiddies' television. What about those commercials that you were in for Toyota where you were hitting Matt Quatermain in the head? And I think they were banned because they might have affected the kiddies.
The very first one we made, the advertising guys went, in typical advertising fashion, went, you guys just go, run with your ideas, run with your ideas, leave the violence guidelines up to us, we'll worry about that. And we're going, well, it could be a bit violent if you say to us, just go wild. It could be a bit, no, fine, just go with your ideas, go with your ideas. So we did.
Yeah.
And apparently some people thought it was a little bit too violent, you know, me getting kicked in the crutch by a horse, for instance, or Matt, just because Matt leapt in wearing a nun's cowl and hit me with an iron bar for the bar nun gag. You know, some people think that's blasphemous, Tony. Can you believe that?
Well, it doesn't sound right, and I know it still shows up on telly fair bit because those funniest commercial shows seem to have it on every week.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm glad we're keeping Kane the Wonder Dog in work.
Good on you. Now, what's your views as a proponent of television violence? Mm-hmm. What are your views on the V-chip? Have you got one in your telly yet?
No, I'm confused, Tony, because I can remember when I was growing up, we had a device that did the job of the V-chip much better, much more sophisticated.
What was that?
It was called the Dad.
Oh, the Dad!
And the Dad was a device which you could put anywhere in your lounge room, but usually in the comfiest chair. And whereas your V-chip only screens at, you know, you have to tell the V-chip what to screen at, the Dad is much more selective. You know, you didn't need to be watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre for the Dad to kick in. You could be watching HR Puffin stuff and Dad would go, this rubbish, get it off. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Much stricter guidelines with your Dad.
Yeah, my Dad was actually a great V-chip. In fact, he had lots of other skills too. He could actually, over dinner, make you eat your entire meal in silence. If something he liked was on the telly.
That's amazing.
Let's see the V-chip do that.
The Dad is, of course, easier to program and often has a more outrageous fashion sensibility about it. If my Dad chip is anything to go by.
Mm-hmm.
And what have you been... Is there anything on the telly that's been taking your fancy? I know there's been a lot of... There's been a lot of shows which deserve a bit of V-chip work on them. There's been a disturbing trend on television recently to show us a lot of underpants. There's been Kay Fisher in the underpants. Uh-huh. Underpants special seem to be the go. Maybe that's how we can get on the telly, mate.
I love Channel 9 or whoever, when they're doing something under the thin guise of a retrospective, they'll show women's underwear and they'll show like some kind of penthouse-style shots of, you know, women in sexy underwear. And then they'll go, but of course there's a historical context. And then they get some black and white footage and put some of that pianola music under it. Ding, ding, ding. Oh, hang on, bugger me. It's a documentary.
That's right.
Back on. Write this down, kids.
Back in the 50s when you wanted to show... porno films, they could only be shown under the guise of education or this is for health reasons or it's the nudism lifestyle. That's what Channel 9 do with, you know, the underpants work. And I remember Channel 7's nude moments was passed off as, you know, the history of nudity.
You had to go and bring that up, didn't you? You had to go and bring nude moments up.
And, of course, Danny Minogue in there in the derps as well.
Leading the charge. Have we had enough Danny? Now, I've noticed in my newsagent, there's now a complete section in the magazine rack just marked Danny. And, I'm a bit mystified about the whole calendar business. I know she's getting a bit of the gear off some sexy glamour.
Have you seen it?
Oh, I've seen a few of your, you know, your more chaste shots in the new weekly and the new idea.
Mm.
But I haven't seen any of the racy ones. And I don't know what the point is. You know, if you're writing out a check, say, or, you know, trying to figure out whether your phone bill's overdue, you look at your calendar and go, what day is it today? Oh, it's the 12th of... Crikey, have a go at that.
It's just not going to help with the paperwork, is it?
And I'm not going to buy that calendar unless I know there's going to be a few of those little black dots covering up the naughty bit somewhere. Come on, let's go all the way, Dan.
My calendar's got a V-chip on it. Now, what about what about Danny? Where can she go? She's done Playboy. She's done the calendar. What's next for Danny?
Playboy to Play School. It's a natural transition for me because I've seen the hot man, the live wire, the thunderbolt, who's the new chairman of the ABC. He comes from the world of opera, and you know what a bunch of firebrands, party heads they are in the opera. Oh, I saw him on the news, and he was saying it's going to be a very exciting new ABC. And I was all the way with him. I thought, that's very exciting.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, it's a brave new era, isn't it?
We've got a bear in there, and we're hoping to build on that as a bit of a start. But I can see Big Ted getting his own show. Why not?
I can't wait for the ABC to stop persevering with these, you know, live fast, die young, leave a pretty corpse kind of guys at the helm, because it's just not doing anyone any good.
There's only so much Bush Tucker Man one population can take, I reckon, before we dive inside.
Stand by for more Keeping Up Appearances, One Foot in the Grave, Waiting for God. We'll get a lot of that. And how much does he like John Howard?
They're pretty good buddies, aren't they?
All right. Well, Paco, any sign of a TV comeback for you? Any sign of... When are the Empty Pockets getting their own series?
Probably when... probably never, to be quite honest. I was going to try and think of a date, some possible... Probably on the 12th of... Crikey, have a go at that. Will be our first air date.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're hankering for a bit of violence, Paco, do you want to sit around for something we've got going? Which is influenced by your and Matt's work, I have to say. Oh, yeah. And Pete, tell us about it.
It's time to play Beat the Beasley. Here's how it works. Mick and Tony have commissioned the nation's finest designers, engineers and craftsmen to construct several frighteningly lifelike replicas of federal opposition leader Kim Beazley. Every day on Martin Malloy, one of these enormous structures will be dropped onto something fragile, tiny or defenseless. That is, unless you can correctly answer five questions and beat the Beazley. If you're successful, you'll win a Sanyo Olympic Home Entertainment Package, including a Sanyo widescreen TV, Sports Review VCR, enough pizza and Coke to get you through the games, and a cleaner to come to your place and deal with the aftermath. Okay, lads, roll out the Beasley.
Be happy to, Pete Smith, and it's the final Beat the Beasley. And are you getting the idea, Matt?
Yes.
Is it appealing to you?
My hands are poised over my buzzer already.
You can't enter.
Give me my pen and pencil set now.
We've been pretty shocking at playing Quizmasters on this segment. We've been told off by station management quite a bit, and since you've been in there, in the middle of the sale atmosphere, you've drunk it in. We'd like you to sit around and just keep an eye on things and make sure that it's all happening above board. And because it's the final one, I think it's only fair that we allow the Beasley to fall onto Mick and myself. It's going to drop fear on our heads. It's a fantastic opportunity for you listeners to dish out some punishment to us. And obviously it's the final one. Has to be the biggest one ever. What have we created out in the shed today, Mickey?
It's the Independent Beasley. Independence, pardon me.
Yes, the Independence Beasley. It's modelled on that bloody big spaceship you see in the Independence Day trailer.
Absolutely.
And as we crane it up into the ceiling, you'll actually see a vast shadow falling across every object in the studio.
Run for your lives, kiddies!
It's going to be creepy. It's going to be kooky. It's going to be altogether ooky.
We organised the Independence Beasley before we realised we were dropping it on ourselves. And we're having a bit of a think about it now.
And it's time to really get people to really give it to us. Give us a serve. It's your chance to drop something on our heads so you don't get that opportunity every day, so call us now.
I think we're going to have to excuse Parker from the studio, though.
Why is that?
Well, he doesn't want the Independence Beasley dropped on him.
It's the hugest Beasley I've ever seen in my life.
Well, is he leaving us now or is he hanging around?
What do you think, Parker? You got things to do?
I've got to go home and catch a West Coast Fitzroy. That's a great feeling when your team's playing Fitzroy. It's like knowing you're going to have fish and chips for dinner. You just feel on the top of the world.
All right, Parker.
Perth boy, through and through.
Well, thanks for joining us today, and we've got business to take care of. Call us up if you'd like to drop a large object on our heads. 1-800-657-657.
This is...
It's the final chance for you to enjoy and jitterbug along with that frantic madcap rhythm, because it's the final ever Beat the Beasley, where for one last time we drop a massive effigy of the beloved federal opposition leader Kim Beasley onto something tiny, fragile and defenceless. In this case, Mick and myself. We're going to drop the Beasley on ourselves. It's suspended over our heads. It's blocking out all sunlight. If it's dark outside, people, it's not because it's getting late. It's because our massive Independence Beasley is filling the sky. And, Mickey, do we have somebody who's willing to pull the lever?
The only person who can save us at this stage, Tone, is Naomi. Hello, Naomi.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad at all. How are yous, more the point?
Not too bad.
You up to this?
Yeah. Oh, I hope so.
You'll be right.
Which part of the big brown land are you calling us from, Naomi?
Park Ridge.
Oh, Queensland?
Yes.
What's going on in that part of the woods?
A little bit overcast, a little bit dark.
Yes, yeah, the Independence Beasley.
There it is.
Even up Queensland. They've got it.
And how's your day been, Naomi? What have you been up to?
Oh, it's been fairly eventful. I've been at work. I'm on my way home in all the traffic.
Oh, you're in a car.
Yes.
Oh, very exciting. How's the traffic?
Heavy.
Give him a couple of honks to the horn. Go on. Very nice. Let him know. If you hear somebody honking the horn, that's the person who's taking part in Beat the Beasley right now. Give her a wave, people. And I'll tell you what, let's just crane it into the correct position. The crane under a fair bit of strain today, even though it sounds exactly the same every day. It is in fact under strain.
Good luck, Naomi.
Here come the questions, Naomi. The Galileo space probe has sent back photos of which planet's biggest moon?
Saturn.
Oh, Jupiter, I'm afraid.
Is that moon bigger than Bert Newton's head?
Yes.
Yes. Is that moon bigger than the moons Marlon Brando likes to drop at his movie co-stars?
Yes.
Yeah, Lou. Who was the ruthless judge on TV's Pot of Gold?
Oh, Bert Newton.
No.
No.
Bernard King, name two of Liz Taylor's husbands.
Bert and what was that young fellow's?
Bert?
Oh, no, not Bert.
Richard Burton.
Richard Burton, that's who I'm
talking about. Yes, we'll accept that. That's two of his husbands, indeed.
What is Max Walker's nickname?
Max Walker?
Yeah.
Heaven. Pass.
Oh, Tangles, I'm afraid.
Tangles, yes.
Name any bad guy from the X-Files.
Oh, the guy who smokes all the cigars.
Yes.
Name two Australian Iron Men.
Sorry?
Name an Iron Man.
And on it's Grant. I want to know which of you guys is the tiny one, the defenseless one, or the fragile one.
Oh, I think that'd be me. I'm afraid, Naomi. I'm afraid so. And, sorry about that. We can't accept Grant as an Iron Man.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. The judge.
The one who was married to Lisa Curry Kenny.
Mm. It's too late, I'm afraid, Naomi.
Wasn't on our list of questions,
oh,
I'm afraid.
Oh, dear. But guess what? You've got yourself the Martin and Lloyd Brown album.
Wonderful.
And a T-shirt with our name on it.
Oh, well, that'll even be better.
Okay, all right. So it's got a happy ending. Sorry about that, Naomi.
That's
but
okay.
Thanks for joining us today. Thanks for severely injuring us on the final ever Beat the Beasley. We'll be back with something entirely different on Monday on Martin Malloy. Malloy and the final Beat the Beasley. What was going on there?
I don't know. Don't ask me.
Shall we give it a quick autopsy?
I was going to pay Grant.
We were trying to help her out. Those questions about, you know, the Jupiter and stuff. I thought everyone knew about Jupiter today.
Jupiter? That's been pretty big news.
Yeah, and she said Bert Newton instead of Bernard King.
Mm.
Easy mistake to make, I suppose. Richard Burton technically was two of Liz Taylor's husbands.
That's right.
Max Walker's nickname, Tangles. Didn't get that one.
No.
And bad guy from the X-Files got that, the smoking bloke. I suppose
he's a bad guy.
Yeah, okay. And what about the Iron Men? We just couldn't accept Grant.
Name two Iron Men, Grant.
Grant. Because you know,
it doesn't work out any way you look at it.
Grant's probably, you know, if you're going to accept that, Grant's probably the answer to most questions, really, when you think about it. There's always a Grant involved somewhere. But anyway, what have we got now? Let me just check the schedule. Oh, yes, prepare to be amazed. And Dick Cavett. And, you know, I've never been good at memory. At remembering things, at recalling important facts instantly. But as you've just heard, I'm very good at saying the same thing in three completely different ways, using three entirely dissimilar techniques, or, if you will, a trio of disparate methods. Nonetheless, all the same, nonetheless, I, like thousands of others, have had my powers of recall substantially increased, having met the world's foremost authority on photographic recall, Mick Malloy.
Mick Malloy is undoubtedly the world's foremost authority on photographic recall. I'm sorry, did you just say that?
Yes, I did, but it's an infomercial. It's important that we say the same thing over and over again as often as possible, continually.
What? Repeating the same information?
Sure. Re-emphasizing the same facts again and again.
Ad nauseum.
Over and over. And now let's meet the man.
Ad infinitum.
No, that's one too many.
I've gone too far.
You've exceeded the bounds of...
Hey, you two, over here.
I'm sorry, Mick. Now, your instant recall technique, can you give us a demonstration?
Yep, throw a list of words at me.
Any words at all, and you'll recall them instantly in a completely different order.
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Saxophone. Swimming pool, fountain pen, necessarily, the color green, light fitting, suitcase, exercise, the number 324-66-999-81545.
Hang on. 5, 4, 5, there.
Hold on, you're writing them down.
Yeah, how else do you expect me to read them back to you?
So basically your miracle technique consists of writing things down.
Got it in one.
That's astonishing. And you're saying this is a technique anyone can use for, say, business or learning a foreign language.
Sure.
What about someone like myself who doesn't always have a pen and paper with them?
Well, you buggered.
Although, I suppose I could phone a friend and get them to write it down.
Whatever.
You know, Mick, it's such a simple technique that I really do feel an extraordinary sexual attraction to you.
Just plug the deal, mate.
No, I feel I should persist with this. How would you feel about jumping into bed and making violent, passionate love to me?
Dick, here's a list of words for you. Out, ass, it. Your blow.
Hold on, I'll have to get a pen. But in the meantime, here's the number to call.
If you'd like to learn the Mick Molloy instant recall technique, just send no more than $49.95 every 25 minutes to Yes, I'd Like a Free Pen at this address. Or simply call 324-66-999-81545.
Wow, it really works. Well, Mick, I must thank you for coming in today, and obviously if you'd like to sleep with me... Oh, yeah. Well, I won't forget that in a hurry.
Another week of Martin Molloy, but the only thing that looks good on me is you, and a lot of people have been calling up saying, what's happened to Judith Lucy? Mm-hmm. Has she been sacked after that outrageous segment she did last week? No, Judith's just on 2 weeks' leave. She'll be back a week after next, mm-hmm. and chipper as ever, I'm sure. Also, just another reminder, if you're short of entertainment, visit the Martin Molloy website mm-hmm. on the big internet. It's ever-expanding. I think, what have we added today? I think your chance to see a picture of me and Mick being hit by a paint bomb.
There you go.
If that's
not incentive, nothing is.
If that's your idea of fun, check it out. It's all at http://www.business. And then this is what you need to know. Martin Molloy, just one word, martinmolloy.village.com.au. See you there. But before we go, I think it's time for that little ritual. Mm. We can't put it off, where we pack all the really feeble jokes we've got left over into the Martin Molloy Comedy Incinerator. Start the clock, Gracie, and if you could take things first, Mickey Molloy.
A man escaped from Goulburn Prison last weekend, eluding guards simply by donning a blonde wig and sunglasses. Police later arrested Alan Bond in the same wig and glasses as he attempted to sneak into an afternoon session of Twister.
In a quirk of genetics, a London woman this week gave birth to twins, one white, the other black. The woman also received two telegrams from the Australian member for Oxley, Pauline Hanson, one congratulating her, one telling her to stay well clear of Australia.
Olympic officials hold grave safety fears for our athletes housed in the Olympic Village in Atlanta, which is situated dangerously close to a notoriously rough end of town. Two athletes from our track and field team have already been beaten to a bloody pulp, although that was after an altercation with a female member of the Chinese swimming team.
Oh, possibly Colonel Potter from MASH. But Melvin Belli, the feisty American lawyer known as the King of the Lawsuits, died this week, aged 88. In accordance with his last wishes, he will be posthumously suing himself for wrongful death. Belli passed away just moments after being told his condition was inoperable, and his last word was reportedly, objection.
Diarmid Heinrich. Heiderich.
It's pretty...
Diarmid, close enough, Diarmid Heiderich, otherwise known as Dougie the Pizza Boy, was convicted this week of driving while his license was cancelled. After the guilty verdict, Dougie was taken away from court in the back of a van, which, unfortunately for him, didn't have a big red telephone on the roof. Luck and Gracie. Yeah, that's right.
He'll be back on the streets in around 30 minutes, I'm sure. We really must go. I think you'll agree with that verdict, people. Thanks to our guests today, Matt Parkinson,
the man in the glass booth, Pete Smith, and Willie Nelson's beard. Plus, please, a big hearty congratulations to all our musical gladiators, many of them now signing record contracts. As always, a big end-of-week salute to our producer, Gracie, our assistant, Emma, making the sketches and single-handedly constructing all the Beasleys we've been dropping over the last 3 weeks. It's Vicky. And all the button pushers and eggheads right round the network grid. Button pushers. Okay. And we'll be back. We'll be back next week with Listen to This for a lineup of guests. Dave Graney, Tony Barber, the world's foremost perpetrator of elaborate hoaxes, if he shows up, Joey Skaggs, and more. And until then, remember, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.
If you want to hear some dickheads crapping on, if you want to hear that f***ing Boyzone song, if you want to shit your neighbours, listen to Martin Malloy. Loads of pointless competitions, we've got them. Lots of juvenile noises, we've got them. And for technical malfunction, tune in to Martin Malloy. It sucks, it's Martin Malloy.